movie 300 a week or so ago. There were some really interesting things. If you paid, you know, those of you who've seen it, you know, you got Xerxes as the king. And those of you who know your Bible know that he's the same king who Esther had to approach. And when you start comprehending, I'll be honest with you, this guy was one weird-looking dude. I mean, you talk about some piercings. He had piercings everywhere. He had long, nasty-looking fingernails and very, very effeminate, in my opinion. But he was tall, you know. But here was the thing that got me. When they would have somebody go and announce before him, they would say, they would declare him King of Kings, Lord of Hosts. Some of you have seen the movie, remember that. They announced him as everything that God is. The men on the earth have always been trying to take the titles of God. Listen, I don't want the title of God, I just want child. Being his son is enough for me, knowing who my daddy really is. And, you know, so right now we're seeing all kinds of things happening because the God of this world is going to try to steal. He's going to come on the scene, incarnate. He's going to perform miracles and try to deceive people. It'll be up to the true believers. The Bible puts it this way, that he will try to deceive even the elect. That means the real church. I'm going to put it that way, because that's what the church means, the elect. He's going to try to deceive people through signs and wonders, and people who are moved by signs and wonders, Jesus called them an evil generation. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Angel, some of you remember the magician, his last name's Angel. Chris Angel. Okay, seriously, I watched him raise a bird that they just found on the park walkway who was dead. Birds are chirping. He raised that thing from the dead and every bird in the park shut up. You tell me what's wrong. What is wrong? There's another power and it's going to perform false miracles just like the magicians of Pharaoh. And that's where we have got to operate, not in knowledge, but in wisdom from on high. That's not going to come from going to Bible school. Because I'm going to be flat out honest with you. Most Bible schools do not teach you how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because to be honest with you, that's something you have to learn on your own. You have to walk it out your own. Your salvation is something you have to walk out on your own. As much as, you know, I watch my sons as they grow, and I know they face temptations, they face this, they face that, and I know they have to walk it on their own. I know they're going to make mistakes, and I got to remember, in me, my job is not to condemn them, but to love them. And when I can love them through that and bring them through that, then God can reveal himself to them. Because I know how far I had to go in order to realize it wasn't between me, mom and dad, and God, but it was between me and God. And I finally had to hit bottom. But that doesn't mean my sons have to go down that same road. Because one thing I've taught my sons is forgiveness. We have to forgive, no matter how hard it is. To forgive, we have to forgive. And I think above, beyond anything, that is the one anchor that holds the body of Christ down, is unforgiveness. Because I forget who was talking about it, it was a week or so ago. Pardon me, this is getting a little itchy. But we were talking about, somebody said something about assigned seats. We had a couple guys talking about moving seats. Okay? So if you come in and somebody's sitting in your regular seat, don't get your panties in a wad. Just go find another seat. I'm not a religious preacher who's going to stand up here and say, well, you know, that's so-and-so's seat. Her great-great-granddaddy sat there. Yeah, and he died there. So let's keep that in mind. But we have so many things in churches. I think it was Phil. He was talking about one day a woman came into church, and there was a woman, another woman who sat someplace else, was sitting in this woman's spot. This was before service, and she just jumped all over her. "You know that's my seat. That's where I always sit." I sounded just like my father. I'm just saying, as far as the mannerisms and everything, I just heard, I'm like, "That's Dad." But you know what the truth of the matter was? I don't know if the woman sat there intentionally to do that, but either way, find another seat. That's just all there is to it. I'm off the seat soapbox. I'm just giving you a heads up. You may come in here and somebody's sitting in your seat. There's only going to be a couple reserved seats, and they are reserved for security, so that our security can see what's happening around them. All right. So we've been talking about wisdom the last couple weeks, of how knowledge actually produces fear, but wisdom produces faith. Okay? We're not talking about the world's wisdom. Okay? So you can take all your wise sayings, you get out of your fortune cookies that you find on the Path to Buddhism website or the Confucius website. There are wise sayings, okay? And they don't necessarily all run within the body of Christ. But they are earthly. They are fleshly. They are carnal. And Romans tells us that the carnal mind, this flesh and blood mind, is an enemy to God. Your carnal mind will keep you from stepping out in the things of God, because your carnal mind says, there's nothing there. God always tells you to take the step before he puts the step there. Always. You have to first solidify it in your heart. This is this. I'm doing it. I'm going. And then you've got to actually do it. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, I'm doing this. And you're still sitting there. You're not moving. You're not going anywhere. Why? Because they're still looking through carnal eyes. Oh, but it's wisdom that I hold off right now. No, you're in fear. Okay, I'm just telling you straight up. Carnal wisdom is not God's wisdom. I've shared a story of a man who came to me one day, and he said, "Pastor, I've had a dream about you." And he was actually there talking to me about some other things anyhow, but then he started telling me about this dream he had. And he said, "And it really bothered me." He said, "I saw your motorcycle." He said, "And it was in pieces on the side of the road." And he said, "And I saw your family crying." You know what I did inside? I said, "I bind that stupid thought in the name of Jesus. I cast down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ." Because if God cannot protect me on a motorcycle, he can't keep that 747 from crashing through the 7-Eleven I'm in. So anyhow, I thought about it for a long time. And I'm going to tell you right now, I do believe God gives people dreams. Okay? I do believe God speaks to people. But he doesn't do this to make you goofy. None of the gifts of the Spirit are given to make people weird. They're to make us wiser, more powerful in the spiritual realm, so we know what we're dealing with. Why? Because most of the time, we forget to deal with the spiritual realm, and we deal with the person. See, here we are, we're trying to deal with a heroin problem within Central Ohio, but the problem is, there is a controlling spirit over that. You've got to deal with the spirit. You can't just deal with the dealers. There will be dealers that go to jail, of course. But you got to start dealing with the reason why people are having to go to it. Okay? So anyhow, and I prayed about this. I said, "Lord, what did that dream mean?" Because this guy's sitting there, and my dreams always come true. I thought, "You little jack wagon, I want to smack you up the side of your head right now." I thought, "Well, you know, that's fine and dandy, brother. I did what Mary and Joseph did. I took what was said, and I put it on a shelf to ponder it, to think. And I prayed. And then one day, out of the blue, it took everybody by surprise, I decided to get rid of my bike. And it had nothing to do with the fear that I was afraid I was going to wreck it. Okay? Had nothing to do with that. I'm still confident in my abilities to ride a motorcycle, even though my hands go to sleep from time to time. They do that sitting on the couch. It had everything to do with God began to reveal to me that if I continued where I was going, because I told Angela, I said, here's what it was. I said, there's only been three other women besides her to ever ride my motorcycle. Two of them are sitting right here, and the other one's sitting over there. I've known these two since they were little girls. They asked if they could take a ride. She said yes. Boom. Problem is, they weren't the only ones to ever ask. I've had many, many women want to ride the motorcycle. Now, and God revealed to me that if I did not do something, the motorcycle would be my wreck. So I traded it for a junk truck with a bad frame, gas hog, big old tires. And I enjoyed it. And I'm able now to stand here in front of you and tell you that you got to use wisdom, not fear. Wisdom in interpreting dreams. There are some things that you can interpret through known ways, but the truth of the matter is, if we listen to the words of Joseph, he said, I went to the one who reveals all dreams. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you meanings of dreams. And sometimes the dream meant cut back on the pasta the night before. So many times we're operating in just physical knowledge. And we call it wisdom. But the problem is, this physical knowledge we get, converting into wisdom, makes us prideful. And 1 Corinthians 8 tells us that God is against that. Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and to hate pride and arrogance in the evil way. Pride and arrogance are evil. Now, again, I'm going to specify this because so many people are just so weird about things. I'm not talking about the pride that says, hey, I'm going to get up and bathe my body. I'm going to pick up my dirty underwear off the floor. I'm going to keep my house clean. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. No, that's just self-protection. I'm going to use this. I don't want to use it because then it gets weird. That's a self-pride of who God has made you. Because God put man on the earth to bring the earth into subjection and make it, the whole thing, a garden. I mean, I've been in some beautiful gardens. We love going up to Kingwood Center. But Kingwood Center pales to many. Honestly, I think I've seen pictures of what they believe the Hanging Gardens of Babylon looked like. I'd love to see those. They said when visitors were coming from miles away, they'd see them. And it was just so beautiful. And it still pales in comparison to the Garden of Eden and the way God told Adam to begin to convert the rest of the world. Now, so faith is, I'm kind of backpedaling on a few things here because we're going to pick up and jump on some more things. Faith is a product of wisdom. But it only comes through every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, I've shared some things with Angela before about our Bible. Here's the problem we get when we look into our Bible. We say every word in there is the truth. So, the words of Peter when he said, Jesus, you will not die, those are the truth? No. How about we focus on the words of God as the truth? We got so many people misquoting Scripture, believing on things that aren't going to happen because they don't know the Word of God. They're trying to claim something, but they're believing something that somebody else fell for. The Lord gave it to me and the Lord took it away. How about, yes, God is in control of everything, but how about the devil took that? Isn't that what John 10:10 says? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now we go back to Job because Job's the one that said this. Job's also the one that said, the very thing I feared has come upon me. So let's examine Job's mind for just a moment, where he was at. His enemies have came and taken all of his donkeys, his camels, burned his fields, and all of his children happened to be in the same house, and a tornado took it down and killed them all. Just like that. Now, he never did curse God. But the problem is, he says, the Lord gave and the Lord took it from me. And that is not the truth. So how can we sit here and say that God is a God who gives and takes? He said blessing and cursing should never proceed out of the same mouth. So we have a schizophrenic God, don't we? No, we don't. We have to look at the situation. God did not take it. What would have been wisdom on his behalf, on Job's behalf? Because remember, he made sacrifices daily because, well, you know what? My kids might go out and they might accidentally sin against God. If he trusted God and knew God the way he thought he did, he'd have said, Lord, I put them in your hands. I trust you with them. That's where he'd have done. But see, he did have a reputation with God because God did look out for him. He called him righteous. He said, he does things my way, but he had that one little bit of fear. And that was the knowledge that my kids might go out and they might do something bad. Anybody in here ever been a child? That should be everybody's hand. Anybody ever in here do something bad? Okay, get all your paws up. Not calling you dogs. Just, it's the Marine coming out in me. And trust me, I cleaned that way up. First Corinthians 8:2 says, if anyone thinks he knows anything, as far as carnal knowledge, he knows nothing as he should yet. Wisdom. Nothing's been revealed yet. We got scientists, they're starting to try to explain the universe, right? They still cannot explain where the components that created the Big Bang came from. They can't explain any of that. We understand principles which God put into motion, but we cannot explain it. I don't mean to be gross, but somebody, seriously, explain to me how a microscopic sperm finds a microscopic egg on a regular basis, and out of that comes typically a 7-pound baby that could grow up to be 6'5". Something tells me you weren't 7 pounds when you came out. How? How does that happen out of microscopic organisms? They just do. Oh, what, the egg's got a little beacon on it? Deet, 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 deet. And all 3 million sperm go. It's an amazing thing. Oh, they just wiggle until they find it, or they die. I'm like, seriously, there's some women, they're pregnant every year. And then, you know, might be getting a little more information than you need, so. But we cannot explain everything. We just leave it to the mysteries of the universe. Well, the truth of the matter is we have to, by faith, believe that through wisdom, God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Out of nothing. He just said, here's what I want. Spoke, and bang, it happened. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. And by the way, I do not believe it just happened 10,000 years ago. Just so you know. I believe the earth is very old. I believe the universe is very old. People have tried to say, well, you know all that. Listen, I mined for 3 years. I dug in the earth. I have dug 90 feet down, and there are fossils that belong in the ocean in Ohio. Seriously. Well, you know, it only takes so long. Well, it takes a little longer. This whole earth was covered in water, which totally proves Genesis, that the earth was covered in water. We're not getting into that today. But by faith, I believe God did that. And that out of nothing, he created that earth at one time. That's why he was able to call it up out from underneath the water. Then Romans 8:6 said, carnal mind is death, be spiritually minded is life and peace. That is why I told you today, do not worry about what's happening in Europe. Pray, because the world's being duped. I got to tell you, I read where Greece, if you've been paying attention to the news, Greece can't support itself. But yet they were sent thousands and thousands of refugees who are now fighting in their streets, fighting the Greeks, raping, and destroying their islands. These are supposed to be Christians? Just saying. Maybe we need to start asking God and using wisdom. There may be a few Christians mingled in there. The devil is a tactician and a supreme one at that. Do not ever underestimate your enemy. Therein lies a big problem with the church. That's just the devil. He's nothing. Listen, he's not been deceiving Christians for thousands of years for no reason. He took down Adam and Eve just like that by twisting a few words. All right. Now, most of the time in the New Testament, you're going to read the word wisdom, and it's going to be the word Sophia. That's exactly how it's pronounced. And it means knowledge and practical application of knowledge. Okay, the Greeks like to do, sometimes bundle everything into one word, which kind of created a problem. Because God's wisdom is not just knowledge. I know people who know the Bible inside and out. They can quote you half of it. But they're afraid of the devil. I heard a preacher say that one time. A preacher should never, I mean, he was a pastor. He's no longer. But he was a pastor, and he said, I was having such a good day, I was afraid to say it out loud because the devil might hear me. Bless God. You know when I have my best days is when God is on the throne. And to my knowledge, he doesn't ever get off the throne. And if he's for me, who can be against me? Doesn't mean I'm not going to ever get attacked. Doesn't mean that my life is just a Shangri-La and nothing bad ever happens. Let's get real. I've been a big opponent of this for years. People say, oh, your life will turn around when you come to Jesus Christ. I'm going to promise you, hell is going to open up on your life. But now you've got an ally. Because regardless of what we think, hell opens up on our lives without Christ. Our eyes are now opened to the fact of who's doing it, and we can stand against it, knowing I've got an ally. There's an adversary over here, but I've got an ally. And he's called the Lord of hosts. Do you know what that word means? Host is armies. Mies. Armies. Not army. Armies. In today's modern term, at least in the United States, an army stands for any force over 400,000. Now, to tell you how massive the buildup was for World War II, the Marine Corps, which means smaller, we tried to run right around 200,000 max worldwide. I think we run right around 150,000, which is why most Marines come out stressed out, because we're doing the job of 10 Marines. But during World War II, the Marine Corps qualified as an army, and then some, because we had so many to take on the enemy. That didn't include what the army had or the navy. So you serve the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. And what he's got still outshines everything the enemy has ever deceived or conjured up. So in that, we should never fear. I will say this, Mr. Roosevelt did have something right to say. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. When we fear things, they win. When I was afraid of the dark, it won. It won. When I became afraid of people, they won. All right. Turn to John chapter 16. I'm going to go to verse 5. These are the words of Jesus. Are they in red? Nope, they're in white up here. But these are red in my Bible. It says, "But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." Okay. There is a time for sorrow. There is a time for mourning. And people that will not and do not do that properly, it will come out. It will ruin, it will rule their life. Okay? But as soon as Jesus said that, these disciples entered into sorrow, because he said, "I'm going away. But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Anytime Jesus tells you the truth, stand on it. When he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," it means truthfully, "I say to you, surely." Now he's saying, "I'm telling you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." It's to our advantage that the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Savior of the world left. How much more important is the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer now? I've never seen Jesus. Never. I have felt his presence. But Jesus has a body, sits on the right hand of God, and he's waiting for God to say, "Go get him." He sent his Holy Spirit. Why? Have you ever paid attention to the Bible? In the beginning, the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God hovered. Now, if you read in the Hebrew about that, the way the Holy Spirit is hovering is as a judgment. But what took place next? "And God said, let there be light. and there was light. Why was there? Because the power was here. The power moves through the Holy Spirit. Wisdom runs through the Holy Spirit. Without it, people can misinterpret the Bible. That is why they misinterpret it. That's why people are dying. Because without the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the mysteries of God in the Bible, it's just a good story. And a little confusing one at times, to be honest with you. We can be so smart and not believe in the miraculous. How many of you know of a man named Thomas Jefferson? He ring a bell to you? We write him up as a good, godly man, don't we? Christians try to because of things he wrote. But let me tell you what, he really wasn't. History's proving that. But he did not believe in the miracles of God. So much so, there is now also, we have the King James Bible. There is the Jeffersonian Bible. He had every miracle of God taken out. Here's a man that through, I believe, the influence of the Holy Spirit was helped birth a nation and ensure that we have rights as believers and non-believers. This is where I think the church has missed the whole thing. As a soldier, as a warrior for my country, it was my job to defend the Muslims' right to believe the way they believe too. Whether I liked it or not. By the way, it's my stand on a few other issues that are floating around right now. I took an oath to do a job against my beliefs. Now, as a Christian pastor, will I marry a homosexual couple? No. Will not happen. They cannot make me do that. Okay? Now, so Jefferson was wise. Had good knowledge, very smart. And I believe that through the influence of the Holy Spirit, these men, Ben Franklin included, I think he died of syphilis. We write him up as a good godly man. We might want to check the facts. But they were under the influence of the Holy Spirit to birth this nation for this purpose. Because here's what I got to tell you, folks. Israel needed us in the 40s. They needed us. They needed us before that. But Israel needed the United States. Because without the United States, Hitler would have run over everybody. I don't care what Britain says. They were getting their butts handed to them left and right, fighting the Germans. It wasn't until the United States got involved in 1941 that things began to turn. God used, for that whole purpose, God used that handful of men to start this. So that in 1948, Israel would be declared a nation once again. And prophecy would be fulfilled. Don't you think God's going to forget that we, the believers in this country, had a part to do with that? I may not have been alive in 48, but I'm a joint heir in Christ Jesus. That means that my brothers and sisters who were serving God at that time, I'm a joint heir with them, just as much as I'm a joint heir with the Marines who raised the flag on Iwo Jima. They raised the flag, I get the honor as well. Our brothers and sisters in the 40s prayed and they believed and they trusted God. And now, Israel is what they are. And God's going to stand up for Israel. I shudder for anybody that comes against Israel. I don't believe the United States will lift a finger to help, but I pray we never lift a finger to go against them. It will not be to our advantage. Where did I get 7? I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Can I tell you a little something? You want to get people saved? Ask God how to talk to them. But I'm going to promise you, getting up on a platform on your glorious soapbox and pointing your bony little finger down at their nose and saying you're a sinner is not going to convert anybody. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you want to get to me? You don't sit there and tell me that I'm a sinner. Because I'll tell you, just like I told that, I asked that guy at Walmart one year, because this is how I was being taught how to witness to people. Do you know you're going to hell? The guy says yes and kept right on walking. Okay, guys, you forgot to tell me how to handle this. I've come to realize that God puts people in each one of our lives, not always to reap a harvest, but to sow the seed. So the Holy Spirit's job is to convict the world of sin, not mine. My job as a pastor, let's get this straight here, body of Christ, fivefold ministry, is to edify and build up the body of Christ. If you're sinning and you're part of the body of Christ, then it becomes my job to build you up. And in order to build you up, sometimes you got to get tore down a little bit. To build up muscles, don't you typically have to tear them down a little? You got to stress them a little bit more. That's why you got to push yourself further. If you aren't wore out from a workout, you didn't work out. That's my opinion. What do you think? You got to feel it, or else you didn't do anything. You're maintaining. That we would run 3 times a week in the Marine Corps. Big whoop-de-doo. 3 miles was nothing. We always sang it as a joke. 3 miles, ha, nothing. 4 miles, 5, 6, 7. Typically, we ran 10 miles each time we ran. By the time I got out, I ran 17 miles one time and didn't realize it. And I called cadence for about 6 of those miles, which means I had to yell louder than the 80 guys I was running with. But it no longer meant anything. 10 miles was nothing. I was so conditioned. 17 miles was... We needed to go 20. 25, 26. The only time we did that was a pack on our back. And well, I've already told you, that's one thing I didn't care to do, so I'd try to go the other way. They need a volunteer in the tool room. I don't like backpacks. I don't think they were built for the backs of men. That's what we got trucks for. I know we can't always get there with them. All right, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The devil is judged already. When the Holy Spirit showed up on the scene, the devil became judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Why? Why could they not handle? Because they needed the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth. Why? Because we hear something and we automatically convert it to a flesh and blood way to deal with it. Well, bless God, we need to go deliver Jerusalem out of the hands of the Muslims right now. Do we forget what Jesus told Pilate? He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would have already risen up and overpowered you." Think about that for a second. We would have already beat you, but my kingdom is not Jerusalem. By the way, I have another belief as far as why Jerusalem is such a hotbed. When you start studying, you know that Peter talks about the angels being bound and cast into a place in the earth. The book of Enoch talks about that a little bit, and it's between 5 and 12 miles away from Jerusalem, historically. Because otherwise, why would anybody fight over a bunch of rocks? Even modern pictures of Jerusalem It's just a bunch of rocks. There's a deeper reason. Because God doesn't live in the temple there anymore. If we forget that point. So we cannot handle the things Jesus has to say yet because the Holy Spirit has not come yet to reveal the truth. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak in His own authority, and whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. That is wisdom operating now. God telling you the things to come. In the last couple weeks, in my prayer time, talking to God about things, I believe God has spoke to me about things that are going to happen. I'm not going to stand up here and share them to you. Because He told me. We serve the same Holy Spirit. And if you need to know that, He will tell you. There are times, here's my opinion, my thought, and my firm belief about the gift of words of wisdom. There are times you tell people what God has told you to tell them. But I do not claim to walk in the word of wisdom, but I've had people tell me, I did not tell you about that. And you prayed this way. Sometimes it freaks them out. But God does not give you a word of wisdom to go tell somebody something very intimate in their life publicly, because you're going to freak them out. They're going to, you know way too much. God gives, I believe, people with that insight to pray for others. There's been many times, some of you will just pop up in my mind. Boom, there you are. What do I pray, Lord? And He starts revealing things to me. Now, I don't have to pray in tongues all the time. Okay, I'm just telling you this, and the reason being is because the Bible says that when love is fulfilled, love is matured, tongues will begin to cease. We speak in tongues because we do not understand, because we're not walking in love. I'm not saying it's not powerful. I still pray in tongues a lot. What I'm saying is, when God reveals something to me, the only reason He revealed that thing to me was so I could pray, because He knows I'm not going to judge you in it. But then there's other things I have no idea what's going on. And maybe I start feeling a little more self-righteous about myself, and God says, we're done with the information. You need to rely on the Holy Spirit now to pray as you ought, because I don't know. All right. He will guide you in all truth. He will not speak in His own authority. Jesus never spoke on His own authority. He said, I only speak the things I hear my Father speak. And He will tell you things to come. This is why so many people are bent out of shape today. They want to know what prophecy says. They want to know what this says. We're a people, we do like to know what's coming next, don't we? What's going to happen? Well, a little information is good, but you know what happens when we get to thinking we know what's going to happen? We stick our meddling nose in it and mess it up. We stick our nose where it don't belong, and God says, why'd you do that? Just get out of the situation and let me be God. Verse 14, He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. Who is Jesus? Anybody? What did Luke say about Jesus? Come on. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is Jesus Christ. And He said, He will declare what is mine. What is His? The Word. The spoken words of God. Again, not words spoken out of frustration, because we look, everything in the Old Testament was godly. So David having Uriah killed because he knocked up Bathsheba was of God. No. Never. Things that happened, happened. But they're not because God made him sin. God cannot sin. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The mysteries of the word. That's why you cannot truly interpret the word of God as you should without the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's a somewhat confusing story. Because many times if you look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you may have what looks like a contradiction. Not realizing that there might have been another opportunity, another time that something happened. And again, thanks to breakdowns in language barriers, not everything comes across translated properly. All right. Colossians chapter 2. If you have a problem remembering where to find Colossians, after you go over Romans, most of us know Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, right? 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Then there's four books that people always mess up. Remember the acronym. Greeks eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. It's a great way to remember it. Believe it or not, we remember more things the stupid way than we do trying to memorize them. Okay, starting verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul. Says, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now I say this lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, when he says Christ there, he's not talking the anointing. He says according to Jesus. Now we know who Jesus is, the Word. Let no man deceive you through fancy words, through messages that tickle your ear, through deceitful basic principles of the world. Did God really say? I'm going to tell you right now, folks, God did say. Homosexuals, murderers, drunkards, fornicators, adulterers, all these things will not have a part in the kingdom of heaven. It did say that. It does say that. And it will never change. By the way, it also throws liars, cheaters, and everything else in with that. Okay, let's understand that. Because all we're jumping on right now is, it's an abomination, it's a sin. How about, church, we start looking within and saying, all right, you lying, cheating, stinking thing, you. How about you quit throwing rocks at them and go to the mirror and drop this down and pull that beam that's in your eyeball that's blocking your vision. Instead, pray for them that are deceived. Do you know how many Christians, people who have preached the word, who know what Corinthians has to say, to know what Leviticus has to say about these issues, how many of them have been deceived? Apparently, I'm gay. I didn't know it. No, you mistook something. You've been deceived. My heart still breaks for Ray Bolts, anointed man of God. Wrote more than one anointed song. Watch the Lamb, Touch of the Master's Hand. Thank you. and then decided he was gay. Why? Because of deceit. David once said, I enjoyed the companionship of Jonathan, my friend, and his love was greater than any woman's. It wasn't a homosexual relationship. And this is what's happening today. There are people who are born never to marry. The church needs to get on board with that and understand that. Jesus said it. Some people are just born eunuchs. In other words, they have no desire for the company of a woman. And I'll just stop there on that. But there's the same thing with women. But David said, Jonathan and I have such a great bond that it was greater than the bond with any woman I've ever had. And these men start feeling a bond towards another man. But the church starts getting weird. Two guys running around together all the time, you must be gay, right? That's what we say. I've heard it from preachers. You need to get married. Paul said, I wish y'all could be like me and not. Wisdom says, get in the Bible. Learn what the Bible says. So you know what we do? Because we've taught that these guys, well, you're not getting married, or maybe you've got a really strong relationship with a brother, you've got to be gay in order to feel that kind of love with him. We pushed them into it because we began through basic deceitful practices of the world saying, well, you've got to marry. So that makes Jesus gay too, because he did not marry. Makes Paul gay, makes John gay. David wasn't, if you've ever read your Bible. He loved the women. Maybe not as much as Solomon, but... All right, now let's go over to James again. And typically you can find the book of Hebrews just by flipping, so James is the very next book. Verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. All right, remember, anybody who lacks wisdom. Now, unfortunately, the Greek just leaves it as knowledge, and knowledge acted upon. But let's continue in the vein that it's knowledge of the Word, knowledge of God, because that's where we lack. Knowledge of a situation. Counsel is good. The Bible says that through the counsel of many, war is waged. A two-chord band is not easily broken, but a three-chord will never break. The more, sometimes we do need that, okay? Make sure, first off, they're godly people. People who listen to the Word, listen to the voice of God. Not just people who, hey, I've got a Bible and the Bible said, cut your right hand off. How about we get into the real spiritual point of that and see what Jesus said. If your right hand is offending you, cut it off. In other words, stop doing, get away, cut that issue, cut that out of your life. If you're a klepto, you know, five-finger discount person, don't ever go anywhere without somebody who will hold you accountable. This is a problem in the body of Christ. We confess our sins to one another, but you know what we do? We pull out our gavel. Jump up on the bench. You're guilty. Instead of saying, I understand. Do you know how alone I felt? I couldn't tell people. I couldn't tell my pastor because, in my opinion, and from what I do know of him, he was that. He would judge me because he already had. And he wrongly judged me. Something I never did. The Bible tells us to rely upon each other. But you got to use wisdom on who you're going to. You don't go to Sister Bucketmouth and start confessing your sins. Y'all remember the great Mississippi Squirrel Revival? Sister so-and-so on the front row, the squirrel ran up her skirt. She started naming names. Yeah. It's actually hilarious because the unfortunate thing is it's true. We get a little feel of God and here all it was a cold chill blowing through the building. The power of God will drive you to repentance. It leads you to love and forgiveness. But we've got to use wisdom in who we talk to. I'm not saying you're going to be able to always talk to me about something. But maybe God says go to Harold or go to Sherry. Because you know what I've learned? Typically, if God tells us to go to somebody about something, they've already been down that road. And they cannot judge you. They have no right to judge you. It's when we say, well, I never did that. I got to tell you right now, I know the paths I went, and I know why I went down them. And God allowed it. Okay, he did allow it. He didn't cause it. It was my own situations, my own decisions, my choices. No, there it's in. Yeah, anyhow, it was me who did it. Okay, but God has used it for the roads that I've been down through. Many of you have already been. You're going down them, or you've been down them. And you know what I cannot do to you? I can't stand up here and say, "Oh, I never did that." One thing I did not do, and I will not judge you in this because alcohol is a drug, but I did not take illegal drugs. That's the only thing I didn't do. Okay, so those of you who feel, well, you know, he's pretty up there in that mighty, that ivory tower. Nope, I can't judge you. And I won't judge you for it. Even if you keep falling, I'll be there to help you back up. So if you lack wisdom in an area, James said, ask God, who gives liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But anytime you read in the Bible, it says, but it's a big one. Okay? But let him ask in faith. Why? Because wisdom produces faith. Ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. In other words, you're moved by every little situation. And they're coming. They're coming. But you've got to continue to stand. When Peter was walking on the water to Jesus, remember, he was a fisherman. And in any time you're in a job, somebody has died. Haven't they? Doesn't matter what the job is. People die. Fishermen drown all the time. Doesn't matter how many years they've been on the sea, they get knocked overboard. And they drown. Peter's got this knowledge in his head. Fishermen don't walk on water. So he's out there walking in a storm. And guess what creeps up? Knowledge. Conventional wisdom kicks in. I shouldn't be here. This is dangerous. What was he walking in before? Total faith. Because that's what Jesus nailed him with when he got back in the boat. Why were you of little faith? He was walking to the Word through the power of the Holy Spirit, and halfway across decided, I'm going to fall back on what I know, and fishermen don't walk on water. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Because he will always fall back on what he knows. What can I tell you? I know that God leads us. I know that God is for us and not against us. Now, let me clarify something here. God will show you something that in the natural, you got to stop. That you have control over. And if you continue to push, it will lead to destruction. When God reveals something to you, listen. The word says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Or it should be a revelation of knowledge. We got knowledge out the wazoo, don't we? I mean, for crying out loud, back in Noah's time, or after Noah, it was Noah's time, they were building a tower, and God said there's nothing can stand in their way. You need to understand, this was not just a little 10-story building. It was starting to approach the clouds. It's up there where 747s fly. It got God's attention. Well, man couldn't have done that back then. God dumbed man down right then and there. He said, you want to act like idiots? I'm going to send you back to the Stone Age. How many years did it take till we could build towers tall? And now what are we doing? It's a prideful thing to have the biggest building. You need to understand, I'm not an engineer, but I do understand that those buildings have to flex. And they flex quite a bit. The taller they are, the more they have to flex. Now, personally, I get seasick real easy. Motion sickness. And I passed it on to Joshua. Yeah, not into that. There ain't enough Dramamine in the world for me to be 110 stories in the air. Or I forget, I don't even know how tall the tallest one is right now. But if you keep in mind that even 110 stories is 1,100 feet. I don't have no desire. Not because of, that's wisdom for you not to go up there, Pastor. Fear. No. I don't like getting sick. But what we're doing now is we're boasting who's got the tallest. Cedar Point has announced they're going to build the tallest roller coaster in the world. It's a thing of pride to build the tallest, to build the biggest, to build the fastest. I understand some of that. I want to have the fastest of this or the best of that. It's a pride thing when it boils down to it. But when we rely solely on carnal knowledge of something, the unfortunate thing is, folks, we do have to have carnal knowledge of things of this world. We do. It's the world we live in. God did not do away with that, with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He did not suddenly say, boop, here you are. You're in a totally different world. How many knows nothing has changed? We wear different clothes. We got cars instead of trucks and donkeys. But ultimately, nothing has changed. And we got people saying, well, you don't need to know all this stuff. Well, if you're going to function in this world, yeah, you do. We have to know history. We have to know science. We have to know mathematics. We have to know all of this stuff. English. No matter how bad I butcher it. We have to know this kind of stuff. We know have to know about farming. Because it's the world we live in. That's why we're supposed to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The dove being the representation of the Holy Spirit who reveals all truth. The serpent being the manipulator of carnal knowledge. We got to know it. We need to be wise. Why do you think people are stupid? No, they don't know their ABCs. Listen, I'd rather know somebody who doesn't know their ABCs and walks in integrity of the Word of God and the revelation of the Word of God than the person who's over here got 10 doctorates on his wall from every religious denomination and school on their wall, and they're controlling people. It's not about control. I figured that out a few years back. If you guys hadn't picked up on things, I can't control you. They always have a saying, organizing bikers is trying to like herding cats. You can't do it. Well, you know what? I can't make you serve God the way He wants. I can't come up and say, well, you know, this is so many rules. You got to do this, this, this. Got to be here so many Sundays. Can't do it. You don't want to be here. There ain't nothing I can do to make you be here. But I'm going to preach. As God told Andrew Womack, I think it was his first time preaching. That spoke volumes to me when I heard it, because I was like, God, I know what you're telling me, but man, where's the people at? Andrew Womack said, my first meeting, I got all ready and I'm ready to preach. I've got the auditorium. We're ready. We're going. He goes, there's nine people. Nine people. He said, God, I got room for 900. He said, there's nine. God told him, he said, you preach to those nine as if they were 900. He preached to those nine as if they were, and I enjoy Andrew Womack's ministry. Good revelation of the word. I don't think he's pretentious whatsoever. I think he's genuine. And when I got hold of that, God, why isn't there more? Then God started revealing something things to me. He said, where did you go? What have you done? I said, well, God, I'm I come from a family who has no heritage. Nothing good to speak of, as we've learned. I come from the smallest tribe, smallest family of the smallest tribe. And then you sent me to the smallest military force on the planet. And he said, yes, what did you learn? And I said, I learned that small doesn't mean you're not mighty. And God began to show me things about this church. See, everybody's concerned about going out and doing this and doing that. They think that the things that everybody can see means that they're doing things for God. They're busy. They're busy. That's all it boils down to. If you don't have the time to talk to your neighbor, I'm not saying you got to go preach to your neighbor every time you turn around. And some neighbors are untalkable. I had one, he wouldn't talk. He'd be mowing his yard. He always listening to a baseball game. He didn't want to talk. Lived to him, next to him for 13 years. The only time he wanted to talk to me was when I built a retaining wall to keep people from falling off the hill in my driveway. I didn't handle that well. I actually had to repent. God, you know what peace I want to give him? Piece of that foot right there. I would rather see you going about your business, talking to people. Sometimes people just need words. Sometimes you might be there a half hour. Don't worry about where you gotta be. Because there's been many times I've gotten held up talking to somebody and encouraging you as a pastor. Again, what is my job? To encourage the body of Christ. You don't know how many people I come across who are Christians, whose pastors are stuck teaching denominational teachings. They've got their guidelines. They hand them down their messages sometimes of what they're allowed to teach. And I get to share with them and encourage them into faith. And I'm like, man, I'm a half hour late. And then to find out, everything got thrown back a half hour because something else in somebody else's life. So don't worry about it. You got to override conventional wisdom, conventional knowledge. God, I don't see how sending these little shoe boxes around the world, I think we ought to send them to the people in the United States. You know how selfish the people in the United States are? Honestly. They forget how, exactly, thank you. They forget how blessed we are as a nation. They forget it. Because we start looking about me, 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 instead of praying for somebody else's situation. I want you to take a look around real quick. Just take a look around at everybody. You don't do this very often, do you? Look around everybody in here. Everybody should be looking. I'm not going to stop until everybody's looked. Look around. See somebody beside you or behind you. Ask God, how can I pray for them? How can I pray for them? And you'll see God move in your life. I promise you. It's not that you can't ask God for guidance. It's why he said, if you lack wisdom, ask. But if you look around and you start praying, God, I want to pray for this person. I know you don't know their name. We're such a huge church, we don't know each other's names. Say, God, you know exactly who I'm praying for. I've got their face in my mind. Whatever situation they're dealing with, help them, Lord. Lead them, guide them, give them wisdom. Show them your love. If you don't know anything else to pray for them, ask God to show his love. Because God is love and he'll reveal himself to them. God, why are they on my heart? I want to pray for them, but I need to know the facts. Maybe you don't. Does their brother gossip a lot? I'm going to tell you right now, for one thing, I'm somebody who, I don't care if you're male or female. Back in the New Testament time, there was an obvious male-dominated society. Okay? Even in the church, women still sat on one side, men on the other. And it didn't always have anything to do with, it didn't have anything to do with the woman hollering across, because that's why Paul said, hey, y'all need to ask your husband at home. But men gossip just as much as women. I always tried to make sure when I went to get my hair cut at a barbershop, I went at a time when all the gossips weren't there. These guys would sit in there, and what was always sneaky is I'd go to one particular barber in Johnsville. Well, all my wife's family's in Johnsville. Only one person in there knew who I was. I'd sit there and listen. Okay, go ahead and start talking about my father-in-law. You go ahead. You got your opinion, and there's a door, and you're going to find it real quick. Go ahead, I dare you. Anytime somebody would start talking about my family, whether it's true or not, it ain't your right to talk about my family. The barber would make sure, because he knew who I was, he'd make sure he changed the subject. I'd just sit there and chuckle. Like, yeah, you just saved them. Because at that point in my life, I was still working through a lot of issues. And anger was one of them that I was starting to learn I had. And trust me, when I get angry, and I mean real angry, the censorship on the mouth goes. I'm not saying I start cussing people out. I'm saying I'm going to whoop up on you with some words. And if you stand up, well, we just took his to a physical. But that's something I'm crucifying daily. Because it doesn't always answer problems, does it? It might even create a few more for me. I can promise you it will. Everybody's too happy. Well, you said I was a dog. You look like a dog. You smell like a dog. You got fleas. You're barking like a dog. Last time I checked, that makes a dog. Tell you, this has nothing to do with anything I'm wrapping up. We got a dog, I told you, a couple weeks back. He's 12 weeks old now, maybe 13 today. He's 13 weeks old. He's a Labrador Retriever, full blood. Because I told her, I said, I want a dog what I know, the bloodlines. I said, I want to know everything about that bloodline. Sometimes you get mixed dogs. You take a chance, don't you? Those of you who've gotten mixed dogs, I might get a good dog, or I might get a dog that its brains are scrambled. See, I had a full-blooded beagle, but the bloodline wasn't pure. She was dumb as a box of rocks. And beagles in general aren't exactly smart. But she took the cake. So anyhow, but this little pup, Remington, I was laying down on the floor last night. He's grown enough where the little half dog or pet carrier we had for him was a little too small. And he vomited it in the other night, and I threw it out on the front porch and out in the front yard in the rain. I'm like, She's like, why'd you throw it out? I said, it was either that or I join him. I do not handle vomit well. So you know who got to clean up most of it. Unless I had my respirator nearby. Anyhow, last night, I'm laying there on the floor. We was watching the Grinch. We've missed it by 2 months. Usually we watch it in July. I'm laying there next to him. He's got a little pillow there in front of the couch. He's always got to be near us. If your feet are down, he's laying on your feet. If you're standing at the sink, he's laying on your feet. And last night I'm laying there. He just keeps roaring. He's a groaner. Stretches out and groans, and he kept kicking me in the head. And next thing I know, I'm laying there watching TV, and he's got his head laid right here. And then he's laying over, and then they got a picture of him. He's laid his head right down here. Thank God he doesn't have fleas and he doesn't smell because he gets bathed often. But you know, even that dog is teaching me a few things. Because you can ask cancer. Sometimes my patience goes, anybody understand? You've had all you can have, and that's it. Patience has run out. I don't know if it's because I got a lot of money in him or what, because he is AKC, but I wasn't paying for the papers, so that didn't matter. I'm not breeding him. I want him to hunt. That's why his name's Remington. But I'm learning a lot about myself, and what I've learned also is it's teaching the family a lot. A little more patience and understanding that, you know, even at 13 weeks and he's a little taller, he's still only a year and a half old mentally. That means the world. Because there's been many times I wanted to just, you're outside. You are a Labrador retriever. You love the cold. You're in the barn. But I did something I normally wouldn't have done. I let him in the house. But he's getting it. I'm getting it. I've learned, but he's not getting on my furniture. He's going to be about a 100-pound dog. So I know you guys, I'd call yours a horse. He's a Rottweiler. And some reason when you teach a little puppy when they're small to be a lap dog, oh, sit up on the lap. When they're 150 pounds, they still think they're a lap dog. My brother's got a Labradoodle. Honking, huge dog, and he's got the same mentality. And, you know, my brother said, that's why I bought leather furniture. I said, yeah, but the problem is he's laying on me and I can't breathe. He said, well, you ought to think good about that because he doesn't do that with everybody. Like, great, he chose me. But anyhow, like I said, it had nothing to do with anything except I'm revealing, learning some things about me, and hopefully it's working to the good. And I hope that you take the things that you ask God when you lack wisdom. Because I'm going to tell you right now, learning even the things about that dog is helping with my sons. And they're learning to look out for somebody else too. Because as people, even as siblings, we start looking out for ourselves. Now, they come home, they think, I got to let the dog out of his kennel. Because I don't trust him that much. I went to the barn for about an hour and came back and there were my new flip-flops. And they weren't Dollar General flip-flops, just so you know. A pair of socks, Angela's shoes, they were all in his bed. But my flip-flops were the only things he wanted to teeth on. Yep, exactly. So he's got certain toys and bones. Angela's like, here, let's give him a pair of old shoes to chew on. I said, no, you're teaching him right now that it's okay to chew on shoes. And I said, the last time somebody thought that, it was my cowboy boots. And it took 15 years to get another pair of cowboy boots. But take the wisdom that God gives you in any situation and apply it into your life. And I'm going to tell you right now, you will never, ever, ever go wrong by seeking God first in everything. That's why he said, seek you first my kingdom. My kingdom, my way of doing what's right. God's way of doing what was right for me in my life was to send me to the Marine Corps, give me a wife, give me kids, give me a dog. All of that has helped. Because when you take somebody, like I said, I didn't realize how angry I was. I always thought she was the angry one. Like, man, you got a temper. And she knew she had a little bit of a temper. Recognizing, you guys can't see that, can you? But she recognized it and God has helped her. And then when God started showing me that I was actually a very angry young man, that's why I was wanting to live by a kill them all, let God sort them out mentality. I didn't care for people. In high school, I wanted to move to Alaska, grow a beard, disappear in the mountains. I've learned I don't like the cold that well. And it doesn't stay warm enough, long enough up there for me to move. Ohio is cold enough, and it took an act of God to get me back here. So, but I will tell you, the first thing I did begin to learn and walk towards wisdom is the fear of the Lord. When God said go, I didn't question him. I just went and did what I was told. And then I revealed more garbage about myself through that move. God will move in your life, trust him. All right, let's stand. I know your backsides went numb about 15 minutes ago. And one thing, you just can't really stop talking about wisdom, God's wisdom. If you seek God in everything, folks, I don't care what it is. Seek God in it. That'll be wisdom. It may be something you've had. I remember praying for a girl one time in school. Oh, I was in love with this little girl. She was pretty. I swore up and down I was going to marry her. I was like, God, why won't she give me the time of day again? She had been my girlfriend once. I don't know how many husbands she's on now. But she looks about 10 years older than me. Sounds like somebody that I cannot stand, a real person. I cannot stand this person. I thought, Lord, you knew exactly what you were doing. There's only two ways out. Death to us part. One of us has got to die. And it don't work out good for me either way. He knew what he was doing. Because the last pictures I saw of her, she wasn't as pretty as I remember. My wife just gets better looking each day. I ain't stupid. All right. If you want prayer for healing, come on up real quick. I'm going to pray for you. Because that is something I know God does. He heals. How does it work? I have no clue. I just know that he said, if you pray in my name and lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So I'm looking for my mints in the event that I still have coffee breath and you get slain in what is not the spirit. I've had many preachers, I wish they had just taken the opportunity for a little banaka just before they laid hands. But I don't understand how God heals. I just know he does. Okay? You just got to stand. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command this body to be healed and whole, made one again, Father. Everything functioning as it should. Lord God, you know every part of her body. You created it, and we command it now to begin to function as you created it, and even better. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Father, right now, I declare healing, wholeness, right now, Father, from her mind to her toes. Lord God, you will heal her body. Lord, you will bring hormones into balance. You will cause everything to begin to function as it should in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Right here. I'm going to pray for my brother.
Okay.
And his wife. Okay. Going through some issues.
Okay. All right. Father, I join my faith right now with my brother. And I ask, Lord, that you intervene in this situation for his brother. Lord, I pray that you lead him and his wife closer to you through this, Lord. But right now, bring peace into this. Give them wisdom, Father. Give Kyle wisdom. Father, give him words, godly words, to speak life into this situation. And Father, I pray that above all, love will rule. Love will be the rule of the day. Father, we bind every attack from the enemy to destroy. For that is what it says. That's all he comes to do. But Lord, we pray that you have the last word in this situation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Without wisdom, folks, we are destroyed. We may look at one thing and say, this is how I should do it. Come to find out, we should have held off. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray and I will dismiss you. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for your word. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you sent the Holy Spirit after you sent the word to reveal the truth in the word to us. Father, help us all now to take the teachings of Christ, to apply them to our lives, to apply them to every day. Every word that you have said, Father, may we hang on it. May we glean every bit of wisdom out of it. And now, Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord, I pray that you bless them. Father, those that are in uncomfortable situations, Lord, I pray that you bring peace to them. Whether or not they know the outcome or what it may look like, Father, your peace will be what rules. And now, Father, bless them. And as your word says, cause your face to shine upon them. And as they walk out these doors, Father, not only will they see the glory in each other, but the world will see the glory on them. And you will be lifted up and draw those people to them. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just about walked into that wall.